My name is Ian O'Neill, and this is How They Did It, a podcast where we learn filmmaking from those who've gone before us. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to How They Did It, a podcast for indie filmmakers, especially those just starting out looking to make their very first film, although anyone at any level can listen and learn. Today's show is sponsored by Indie Film Hustle TV, the world's first streaming service dedicated to filmmakers, screenwriters, and content creators. You'll find content on every step of filmmaking, from screenwriting and producing to crowdfunding and distribution. It's Netflix for filmmakers. Sign up today at ifhtv.com. Happy New Year to all of my listeners. Happy New Year, everybody. Another year over. They seem to fly by so very quickly. Just a few things before I get started. I'm a little under the weather. Woke up this morning not feeling too well. So I apologize if I sneeze or if I cough. Just ignore it. You may hear my dog roaming around. It's raining here right now in Burlington. That's where I am, Burlington, Ontario. And my, big 75-pound German Shepherd is afraid of rain. So she kind of snuggles up to you when it's raining. So you may hear Roxy, snuggling up. So back to this New Year's thing. Again, Happy New Year to everybody. And for some of you, that means New Year's resolutions. So I wondered, who were the first people to torture themselves with this barbaric tradition? And it seems it was the ancient Babylonians some 4,000 years ago. They were the first people to make New Year's resolutions. They were also the first to hold recorded celebrations in honor of the new year. Though for them, the year began in mid-March when the crops were planted. So they made promises in order to earn the favor of the gods and start the year off right. Though I'm not a big believer in New Year's resolutions, I do see the new year as a starting point. Like, the first thing that I usually do in a new year is look back on the old one. And I encourage you to reflect not only on your positives from the previous year, but also your negatives. Just don't dwell on them, okay? Don't dwell on the negatives. But remember, we learn from our mistakes, so it's important to make sure you recognize your mistakes and what led to them. Then you can clearly see how you can avoid making those mistakes again. I mean, we've all said it. I'll never do that again. And we should all have that attitude towards our mistakes. Essentially, make the mistake, learn from it, then move on. It really is that simple. One of the ideas on which I founded this podcast is that you can learn not only from your own mistakes, but from those made by others. So to that end, here's a list of things that I learned on my first short film, and I've carried them with me to ensure that I never make these mistakes again. Some are not exactly mistakes. Some are just some information you might need. So here's the first thing that I learned. Hire the right people for the job. So this can be a tough one since you're likely going from a reel and a discussion with those you're hiring. If your gut is telling you they aren't the right person, go with your gut. I didn't, and it was a disaster. Bad sound, unprepared cinematographer, the list goes on. One thing that would have improved my situation was to get references for those people that I balked at. Excuse me. I didn't, but I should have. Learn from my mistake. Get references for people and listen to your gut. Trust me when I say this. Listen to your gut. Now, the next thing is make sure everyone knows his or her role. Now I'm going to read this because it was a long thing and I just want to get this right. My cinematographer on my first project wanted to be a director. Whether he was conscious of that or not, he definitely wanted to be a director. The role of a cinematographer is to give the director the shots needed. So yes, There's always room for discussion, preferably a bit more than "that'll look like shit," which is what I got. A good director will use the talents of those around him or her. They'd be stupid not to. However, having clearly defined roles for everyone on set allows the director to direct and not worry about anything else, like how the shot will be set up. He needs to trust his DP or his cinematographer to do that. Now, my cinematographer didn't bother to even read the script. That was a really big problem. There is no excuse to come to set unprepared. Every actor knew their lines, and through my direction and some discussion, we nailed their scenes. So much time was lost on discussions about what a scene was to look like. I put a shot list together that was completely ignored. A director of photography or cinematographer is not a cameraman. They are the person in charge of setting up the shots. If a shot is going to look like shit, it's because the DP can't do it right or can't do it at all. I give in too many times because it was just wasting so much time to argue. So know your role and clearly define the roles of every single person on set. Don't make the mistake I did. Next thing I'd have to say is be prepared. Now, how can you expect everyone else working on the film to be prepared before arriving on set if you're not prepared as the director? Being prepared will not nullify those nasty, inevitable gremlins from appearing, but it will help minimize them. I went over every aspect of the script, checked to ensure equipment rentals were on hand, everyone had directions to the shoot, and that everyone had rides to the shoot. I checked the actors to checked with the actors to ensure that the meals were sufficient. I knew who was staying at the location overnight. I was on a constant vigil to make certain everything was ready. I kept everyone up to date with emails before the shoot. I also sent out a shooting schedule, which turned out to be a huge positive, since my actors could then help me tweak it to suit everyone else's needs. I also sent them a shooting script ahead of time. Anything you can do to help everyone be prepared is a huge positive. On the day of the shoot, I even handed out binders to each performer and crew member, in which was the shooting schedule, shot list, and photos of the shooting locations throughout the house. Again, I just wanted to give them tools to help them prepare for the shoot. How you ensure that everyone is prepared is beyond me. If you've done your homework, gotten references, interviews were thorough, you listen to your gut, then you should be good to go. So, having been prepared, you know, no matter how prepared you are, shit happens. Equipment breaks, pieces of equipment are missing, people get stuck in traffic on their way to the shoot. Now, what happened to me on my first film, we took a break to hear what the sound quality had been like for an entire day. And it was, to put it mildly, terrible. That was just such a major problem. And it was 100% my fault. The sound engineer was happy with sound, but somewhere between recording and downloading, it turned very ugly. I ran out of funds and had to contend with fixing the audio on my own. This will never happen again. Always have an emergency fund. Always. Check everything. Check it again. Make sure to build in extra time up front each day. That way you can catch some of these snafus early. The sound issue could have been avoided had I done a test shot and sound check ported to a laptop before rolling cameras and sound. Big lesson learned. Please learn from my mistakes. Check everything before you start. Speaking of an emergency fund, get your budget right. I figured out what I needed, bare bones, to make the film. I accounted for every person receiving an honorarium, even if they told me they didn't want one, or they, you know, they might not have performed well, or were a giant pain in my ass. It didn't matter. I wanted people to earn something for their time, energy, and expertise. I calculated for food and gear, everything, except for cash I'd need to take care of any crisis that arose. That's right. No emergency funds. Let me say it again. I always have a set amount set aside in case of emergency. Learn from my mistake and always have an emergency fund. How much that is, that's totally up to you. A certain percentage of your budget, 10%, 2%? I don't know. It's totally up to you. But please, have an emergency fund. Now, this wasn't a mistake that I made, but it was certainly was something that I should have known beforehand, and I'm going to let you know now. And that is, crowdfunding is a full-time job. I put everything I had into crowdfunding. It was a very, very difficult time. Even though I'd done my homework and I was organized and I was certainly driven, raising the funds that I needed was so tiring and soul draining. I was successful in raising the funds for my first film and came away with this thought. If this is what it takes to raise $2,500, what would life be like raising $100,000? It's a lot of work. Trust me on that. It's a lot of work. So, there you have some reflections of my own that I hope will help you make your way through your filmmaking journey. The thing that I have to say to everybody is thank you so much for listening. I just can't thank you enough for giving me your time. I'll do my best to bring you information that will help you along your filmmaking way. Remember, we're in this together. I'm attempting to make my first feature film, and we'll start shooting in September of this year. I'll keep you posted on my progress, and feel free to let me know how you're doing as well. I'd really like to hear from you. So again, a very happy new year to you all. And you know what? This is going to be a fantastic year. I can just feel it. As always, if you have any comments or questions about the show, please drop me a line by stopping by my Facebook page at How They Did It Podcast. Or catch me on Twitter at HFilmmaking. Please show your support for the show by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And please, if you like the show, share it. Tell a friend. I can use all the support I can get. Well, thanks again for joining me, and I'll be back with another show next week. Until then, keep shooting.